when Ronnie asked me last night or yesterday if I had a word, if I could preach, I never even got to it until the end of the day. And I said, Lord, I really don't know what to say. And he said, speak on what you're going through right this second. And the only word that came to mind was exhaustion.
Amen. Come on.
Exhaustion. And so the Lord said, okay, let's start there. Exhaustion. Now, one of the things that I have been learning in my counseling is that, as you guys hear me speak, and I'll continue to speak, God made each one of us very uniquely. Okay? We have different needs. And according to those needs, they need to be filled in certain ways. Has anybody ever heard you have a God-shaped hole inside of you and nothing but that shape will fill? Well, it actually is a little more specific than that. Yes, God fits that only part of you that only God fits in, but you are made in such a way that you have certain needs that only specific things will meet those needs. Okay? And it is like one of those little puzzles that the toddlers have, okay, or like those little shape things, the boxes where they have all the shapes. You ever seen a toddler trying to smash a star through a square, you know, something like that? Well, that's basically what today's message is about. Some of us have been trying to smash the star through the square hole. So that's one issue we're having. And when that happens, now sometimes they'll learn from it, right? And they'll go, oh, this doesn't fit. But sometimes you'll have a stubborn kid who's going to just keep working at trying to put that star through the square. Okay? What happens right after when the child keeps trying to do it and they can't get it? What happens next?
Frustration.
Frustration and temper tantrum. And a temper tantrum, they do a temper tantrum until they are exhausted. When people come for counseling, all right, when people come to church and they are empty, there's one thing in common with everyone who has a need that is not met. They're exhausted. They're physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted, mentally exhausted, and spiritually exhausted. That is the trait you're going to find from everyone who is not having their needs met in a balanced and godly way. Now, some of us have needs that are being met, but they're not in godly ways. Some of us have some of our needs are being met, but others are not. So we're kind of acting like, well, if I just put more attention onto these needs, this need will go away and it'll be okay. It doesn't work that way either. Okay? So most of the time when you get here on Sundays, those of you who are struggling, which is basically all of us, are going to be pretty exhausted. So we're going to talk about why you're exhausted and how not to be so exhausted. Okay? First of all, Matthew 11:28-30. Let's go ahead and bring that. We were made with certain strengths, weaknesses, and needs. Now, when God fashioned and formed us in our mother's womb, He already had His entire plan laid out from beginning to end. Does everybody realize God is outside of time? Time is like a string that you lay on a table, and He is somebody outside of it. He can touch any point on that string at any time, which is outside of our mind, okay? I mean, infinity is amazing. But God is outside the restrictions of time. So He has this complete, He laid out the universe. He laid out the plan. He laid out creation. He laid out salvation and how Jesus, ahead of time, He knew would come and save us from our sins, right? But when you were in your mother's womb, before there was even a thought of you, God designed and created you to fulfill a specific purpose. Okay? He has a particular place in His plan specifically for you. Did you know that? Meaning, out of all of creation, there is, if you can imagine, a little peg, all right, a little hole. for every person in the entire world who's ever been born and will be born, where they fit in the plan. You have a hole there, and your peg needs to go in that hole. All right? And God designed you and made you in such a way that you fit that hole. And you're in the exact right place. Okay? So that whatever is happening to you, you will be able to handle. Right? Now, what if instead you decide, I don't want to be in that place. I want to be in that peg.
Star
and square. You don't fit that place, but I want to be over there. That's not how God made you. But you go in and you stand in the hole anyways, and you're around people that you can't deal with or have nothing in common with, and you're asked to do things that you do not have gifts and talents to do. And since you're not in the right place, your spiritual gifts are no help to you either. Do you understand? God created you with a specific place, a specific purpose. He gave you, as we talked 2 weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 12, there is a body. And the body has eyes and ears and nose and throat and fingertips, and they're all different parts to the body. Why didn't God just give everybody all the same gifts? Why didn't he do that? Because the body is not all an eye. The body has different parts to do different things and accomplish different purposes. You with me?
Yep.
So therefore, whatever you are called to, whatever your place is in the kingdom, your temperament, the things you like to do, the places you like to be, the people you like to hang out with, all of that is designed to fit right in the place into where you're called to be in God's kingdom. Okay? So, since that's the way it works, he formed and fashioned us in our mother's wombs, and we're called to a specific job, maybe whatever it is, but if we take on a job, or a hobby, or a ministry, or a business, or a relationship, that we are not called into, we will not be equipped to handle it. We will always be
exhausted.
Right? There are certain situations in our lives that we keep trying to fix. They're out of our control. So no matter what you do, if something is out of your control, that means it could be like spaghetti you're throwing against the wall and seeing if it sticks. But you're actually, if it's out of your control, it doesn't matter how much you struggle, how much you fight, how much you try and change the situation, you can't do it. So you work yourself into a tizzy emotionally, physically, mentally, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? What if? Emotionally, oh, I just feel so horrible and I can't let go of this horrible feeling and this fear. And then physically, then it just drains your body. And then you get physically sick from the stress. Okay? Mentally, you can't stop thinking about it. You're useless for anything else. And that causes... Does it sound like anything? Sound like anybody's life? All right? Now, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and humble, gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, people, stop there. This next verse is the whole point of this verse. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, everybody thinks that Jesus was a carpenter, and he made cabinets all day long. The number one thing a carpenter did in Jesus' time was form and fashion yokes. And yokes were made out of wood and had to exactly fit the neck of the oxen that were pulling the load. If it was not perfectly form-fitting, it would chafe them, they'd be able to move, and it wouldn't balance the load that they were pulling. That word easy
worthy means perfectly fitting. For my yoke is perfectly fitting and it's easy. When the yoke perfectly fits the oxen, it's easy to tow what has been put on its back. It's not a burden that it's fighting against. They are easy. It's easy for them to move forward. Right? So what he's saying here is that if you have taken his yoke upon you, that means you're doing what he created you to do. You are taking on the burden he has told you to carry, not someone else. There are people in this room that are trying to tote around other people's burdens, and they're making you exhausted. You can only carry your burden. That's the only thing you were designed for. That's why there is God. He is pretty big. He's pretty capable. And I'm pretty sure he can carry everything else that you can't. Right? And yet, we're trying to do things. We're trying to wear someone else's yoke.
Come on.
You with me?
If what you are doing is exhausting you instead of energizing you, there is a good chance that you have put on a yoke that doesn't fit you. Continuing to do it doesn't make the yoke fit any better, nor does it make the job any easier. We are to do what we are called to do, not just what is put in front of us, nor what we think will make our lives easier. I'm going to read that last one, okay? We are not to just do whatever is put in front of us, nor what we think will make our lives easier.
I want you to think of a job in your past that you have taken on, that you dreaded waking up in the morning, because going there made you want to just pull your eyeballs out, okay? A job that made you want to crawl out of your skin while you were there, okay? You were in a job that was not designed to fit you and how God made you. And you not only didn't want to go there, when you left, you were probably exhausted. Alright, it just drained you. Now, think of a job that you can do easily and do it almost effortlessly, that you get joy out of and it energizes you so you can continue to do it. Can you guys think of something like that? Something you enjoy doing? Alright, now when you did that job, how did you feel when you got home?
Accomplished.
Energized. When you are not meeting your needs, you will always be drained. When you are meeting your needs in a godly way, you will automatically be energized. That's how God designed you. Okay?
It don't mean that you can't do the job you was doing. It just means that you're not in the place where you need to be.
Exactly. Exactly. And we're going to get there because, like I said, sometimes this is what happens. We get in a panic.
We need money. We need whatever it is. We believe at this very moment the weight of the world rests upon us, and if we don't figure this out and if we don't fix it right now, well, the ground is going to open up and swallow us up. And so what happens when we get in panic mode? We will just grab the first thing that comes along to fix our need. Right? That's close enough. It'll allow me to feed myself. And then you take it and you realize you have gone from the frying pan and into the fire. You just traded one misery for another.
Amen.
Okay? So you have to understand Now, with every decision you make, you cannot be the pilot. And you cannot allow your emotions or your situation to determine what decisions you are going to make. If there's one thing we have said over and over again since the day we opened these doors, God only wants two things from you. Listen and obey. The Christian life is not a bunch of rules and regulations. The law is for those who do not have Christ. The law is for those who do not have God's law written inside of them, do not have the Holy Spirit in them saying, turn to the right, turn to the left. Okay? The law is for those who are outside of God, who have not received God by faith. Okay? And so therefore, those who live by the law will be judged by the law. But we who are of faith, who have accepted Jesus Christ by faith, we no longer live by the law. We don't have to. Why? Because the law is just what God would do if he was standing on earth. It's what the Holy Spirit would do if he was inside that person. Well, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We don't need the law to tell us what to do. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide us if we will listen and obey. Right? The Christian life is so much simpler than people make it out to be. But it's so much harder to stop and let someone else have the reins of your life and do what he says, especially when it does not seem to make a hell of being sense to you. Well, this is right in front of me. Wouldn't you want me, my bills are due. Wouldn't you want me to just take this job on? And you get this little thing inside you that goes, mm-mm, nothing more. He doesn't say anything louder than that to me. Well, except that one time he told me I was going after Ronnie to go talk, bring something up because I was angry. And he said, you stop. Statute of limitations ran out on that. But the rest of it... but the rest of the time, all I get from God when I'm doing something wrong is this very quiet, sick feeling in my stomach and just a... So simple, I could just run right over it. But that's how the Holy Spirit leads us. Okay? And so therefore, when you are doing something, or you have a need, and you're not trusting God, you will put yourself in places, situations, jobs, ministries, relationships, that you have no business being in. And the thing is, in most of those things, there's like a contract involved in most of it. You know, you start a job, you really got to finish it. You enter into ministry, you've made a commitment. You get married or something else, okay, you've entered into a contract. And now you have to deal with the long-term effects of making a decision where you put yourself in a position where you had no business being.
Oh, my.
And so all the time you are... Right? Continually dealing with people that you just don't have the natural ability to deal with. Right? A job with too many people or too few people. Something that doesn't even use your gifts and talents. That is because we were disobedient and did not listen to God. If you find the pattern in your life of jumping from the frying pan into the fire, then you probably need to stop jumping and just sit still and don't move until the Lord tells you to move. Every good opportunity is not necessarily a God opportunity.
Amen.
And Satan will dangle in front of you what is good. So you'll be preoccupied and take a hold of that and not have God's best.
Wow.
You hear me?
Wow.
There's a story of a little girl and her dad on an island in the Pacific. And her dad, and they were very poor, and her dad had given her this fake string of pearls. And she wore it all the time. It was her only possession. And one day her dad came to her and said, give me the pearls. And she's like, no. You gave these to me. You need to trust me. Just give me the phone. No, but they're mine. She starts crying. This is the only thing I have. He said, just give me the pearls. And crying, she takes the pearls off and gives them to him. And he hands her real pearls.
Mm-hmm.
He put on. Most of us in this room are holding on to fake pearls.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to give us the real ones.
Mm-hmm.
But we refuse to give them to him because we don't believe there's anything better than what we have right now. Than what's in front of us. But I'm here to tell you, and this is the word of the Lord to you. Stop holding on to what you have deemed is what you need. The Lord says, I have better, I have more, I have what is appropriate, I have what will fill you up, I have what will energize you, but stop doing it your own way. There are some of you that need to stop, sit down, and stop making decisions that are not based on God's will for you, and wait for those that suit your skills, talents, and gifts. Don't let fear push you into decisions, because they will backfire every time. If you do not have the peace of God, if you do not have provision in place, if you're not suited for the job, then stop. Wait for the Lord's best instead of Satan's good. Hear me. If you are making a decision, you come to a crossroads, and especially when it feels dire, okay? Like, I've got to make a decision. I'm going to lose or I'm going to live, okay? Normally, financial ones are the ones that ping us stress-wise the highest, okay? But it might be a relationship. I'm afraid of losing this person. Okay, or maybe it's a health scare. It could be all sorts of things. And as we've been learning, the higher your stress is, the lower your problem-solving ability is.
Mm-hmm.
And when your brain turns off, you go into automatic pilot mode and just do what you normally do. Okay? And that's why all of us are in this room. Right? Look where it got us. Automatic pilot mode. So that means we have to start thinking and saying, huh, the decisions I've been making for myself up until now haven't been specifically or particularly smart. Possibly, I need to start thinking these things through and doing them differently. But if we're stressed about the situation, brain turns off, can't think, can't make a new decision. Just do what we always do. You with me? So because of that, when you're coming to these crossroads and these decisions, if you feel fear, panic, desperation, God help you if you make a decision at that moment. It will be, I promise you, the wrong decision. And it's not like the decision will be over with and there will be no consequences. You will now have entered into a contract for a house, a contract for a car, contract for marriage, a contract for ministry, whatever it is, and now you've got to deal with it. If you do not have the complete and utter peace of God and the provision for what you need to do in front of you, if you need to get from A to B and you have the peace of God, but there is no way to get to A to B, do not start buying stones to get yourself to be, for you to step on. If God does not provide a way for you to get to be, then stay there until God brings it to you.
Yes.
Because if you make it yourself, you will live to regret it, and you will be every morning, every night, you will be
exhausted.
In every way, shape, and form. And what happens after you're exhausted for a long time? What's that sound?
Depression.
Hopelessness. When will this ever end? Mm-hmm. Everything I do is wrong. Well, guess what? It's because you're doing the same thing over and over again. Right? Insanity. But there is a way out. Just stop. Stop. Stay still. Listen. And obey. And if he doesn't make a way right now to get you where you think you should be, there's a reason. Possibly God has an alternate plan. Possibly says he wants you to stay there until your mind is right and you can make decisions. But whatever his reasoning is, don't step out without him. You are endangering yourself and everyone else around you. If you have a family, if you have a business, the decisions you are making are directly affecting everyone around you that you are responsible for, and even some that you're not responsible for. So sit down, stay still, and do not move until provision is made and you have peace. Because there is a God umbrella. When you are walking in the will of God, there is a God umbrella. And you are protected within that umbrella. But if you step out from under that umbrella, you are no longer protected. You take your life into your own hands. And you will have to deal with the consequences of what you do. God may be merciful. God may reel back some of the consequences. But there's still going to be consequences to every action. So you get back in God's will and you think, oh, okay, I'm in the protection now. Maybe it'll get better. A lot of the times you still got to walk out. You know, if you didn't pay your bill, then that lien is going to follow you around. That judgment's going to follow you around. God's not going to supernaturally wipe that out most of the time. We still have to deal with the consequences of doing things outside of the will of God. All right. Another thing, trying to do it all yourself. Psalm 127, 1 through 2. Josh, 127, 1, 2, if you don't mind. My son was kind enough to do this for me this morning, create this. And he came here for me this morning to run it, so thank you. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. What word did we read over and over and over again in there?
In vain.
In vain. In vain. What does that mean?
Pointless.
Pointless?
Yeah.
What?
For naught. No.
For nothing?
No good.
In other words, all of that work and energy you're doing is going to come to nothing.
Zero.
Zilch. And you are, what happens when you rise up early and stay up late toiling for something God has not appointed you to have?
You get exhausted.
Well, what do you know?
Good answer.
Been there, done it, I know.
Mm-hmm. If it is God's will, he will provide it. He will provide the people, the funds, the opportunity, everything. If he is not providing, you have to question whether or not you are in the right place doing the right thing. Sometimes you have to admit you jumped the gun and shouldn't have made certain decisions. Sometimes you have to admit this wasn't God's will. Leave it alone and start over when and with whom God chooses this time. Okay? You will wear yourself out trying to do everything yourself when God doesn't provide what you need. And when you do that, you get resentful that no one is helping you. Mm-hmm. But you need to ask what God wants done, not what you want done. Is the Lord building this, or are you?
Amen.
Are you staying up late and rising up early to fill in the blanks because God hasn't come through? Maybe it isn't his building. Maybe it isn't his timing. Remember we said how the law is for those who don't have the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit will tell us what's right, and it will always be according to the law. Well, in that same way, people tend to still make rules for themselves, make plans for themselves, a timeline for themselves. This has to be done. This has to be done in this timeline. This has to be done in this way. And if it doesn't, I'm going to be really upset. I've lived my life that way. Okay? setting timelines and goals for myself that are not for anybody else. I'm the one who's put these chains on myself. I'm the one who's yoked myself up to this timeline. Nobody else. For this whole thing about getting certified as a pastoral counselor, I felt some pressure because wanting to get it ready and done for a good shepherd, but really I just pushed myself because of some other issues I had that need to prove that I talked about Tuesday night, that need to prove that I was smarter, that I was going to do this faster than anybody else, that I was going to do this better, all this kind of stuff. That was me. That was me pushing and pushing and putting too much on myself. That wasn't God. And when we did, and what did I do? I broke the candle at both ends. I got up early. I stayed up late, and I was
exhausted.
And
you finished?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's right. I just told everybody, but so the point is that if you are exhausted, possibly you have put a timeline or plans together for your life that are not God's. Because if it's God's, He will give you the energy to do it. He will give you the strength to do it. He'll give you the tools and the people and the time to do it. The other thing is sometimes, if you're a perfectionist, like several of us in here are, all right, you need this stuff done, but you don't trust anybody else to do it correctly. So you always do it yourself. And then when it doesn't get done, or then you are always exhausted because you are always having to do it yourself. And yeah, and then you get resentful that you are doing it all yourself when you shouldn't have been in the first place. God actually uses other people. I know you won't believe this, but God can actually use other people to get things done, even though it won't get done to your standard.
Yeah.
Even though God actually, figure this, God actually wants you to let someone else do something to learn from it, even if they fail. You are not, God may be calling you to allow others to learn and grow underneath you, under your ministry, your responsibilities, whatever it is, so they can learn to do what you need them to do. But that area of control in your life, that fear, or really just what you put on yourself and said, it has to be done this way, close enough is not good enough, okay? Because you've done that, you've robbed someone else of the opportunity of what God wants them to learn and do. And guess what? If it's not done perfectly, the ground will not open up and you will not be swallowed up. You have to realize, some of us are just compulsive about having things, they need to be perfect. Well, that's a brain glitch, because there's no such thing. No such thing. And this world is partially about tasks, but mainly about people. So remember, what is God calling you to do? If you are making decisions about not letting other people do things for you out of fear, panic, or distress, that is not a good decision. If God has spoken to you and you quietly know, do not put that person in that position, do not give that person that job to do, that's one thing. But if you're doing it out of your own fear and panic, it's not God. We have to stop making decisions based on what we think, what we want, what we think we need, and even the little decisions. Remember, everything you do affects the people around you. Consider this. God has put those people around you for a purpose. Do you think possibly it might be because He wants you to help raise them up? When I was pregnant with Shayna, my second child, Joshua was already born. And, well, before that, we had tried. We lived in Florida and wanted to move to Atlanta. Checked out jobs, and my first husband could not find anything. So we just realized nothing was coming together, so we just left it alone. Then I was pregnant with Shayna, and we wanted to try again, and this time with one phone call. They hired him over the phone in the first phone call. We wondered if we'd be able to sell the house. We sold the house. Then I was going to have to be there while my husband moved, and I was going to be alone with Josh and pregnant for a month until we could move up. People who bought it decided they wanted it immediately, so we all got to move up together. My parents went and checked out houses, found a house that was like $60,000 under market value, which was the perfect house for us. Absolutely everything was provided for in the right timing, at the right time. So when you leave it to God and stop forcing the issue and forcing your plan upon God's plan, it will all come together. Okay? Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Everybody knows 5 and 6, but everybody, they stop there. They're not listening to 7 and 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Then it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. If you are exhausted, it means most likely you have been wise in your own eyes. Sometimes you're trying to meet your needs in ways that are not godly or God-ordained. We all have needs, but when we try to meet them out of God's will, it always backfires on us and bites us in the rear end. We keep thinking, next time I'll make a better decision and this relationship will turn out better. That's the problem. You are making the decision, not the Lord. God knows that you have needs. He put those needs in you, but they cannot be filled with just anything. Hear me. It's not a one-size-fits-all. What's going to fit Susan is not going to fit Melissa, and what's going to fit Karen is not going to fit Renita. You all have very specific things. You have to wait till he gives you those specific things. Nothing else will satisfy, no matter what you do. And you only get what perfectly fits if you wait for him to bring it to you and stop trying to cram in substitutions. Getting rest through God's promises. Josh, can bring up the next scripture, which is Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Now, I love the first lines of this because it really is trying to get your attention. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Come on, people. Do we not know the God we serve? Do we not know his abilities and his capabilities? He's saying, wake up! The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be wearied, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord, hope is actually means to hope and wait. Wait and hope are the same. Wait, for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What causes not to be exhaustion? Those who hope, wait in the Lord. Okay? When you just rush forward without waiting for him, you get exhausted. All right? You need to get rest through trusting God's promises. I'm just going to read these out to you, okay? 1 Kings 8:56. Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all of the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. Has God spoken anything to you, to your spirit? Has he made a promise to you in some area of your life that you know? Raise your hand if God's ever made a promise to you about something for your life. Okay? Now, are you willing to wait until he brings it to pass, or are you going to try and help him?
Don't work.
Okay, both. Here we go. There is no both here. Either you wait, or you do. You do, or you wait. But if you will wait, you will not be exhausted. When you wait, you will be energized. You will be able to continue to go on. You follow? Jeremiah 31:25. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. Hebrews 12:12-13. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. The only way to be strengthened is by trusting in God, in waiting on God. Colossians 1:29. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. If you're doing it in your own strength, you are always going to be worn out. Exodus 33:14. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. If you are exhausted, chances are the presence of the Lord is not with you. You have gone out from under the umbrella. Right? Who in here has been exhausted lately? I'm going to speak to all of you. Stop. For God's sake, just stop. You may have to finish out a commitment that you have made. But hear me. If you go to God and tell him, I don't want to do it my own way anymore. I trust and understand you have a way for me that meets my needs, that will energize and not exhaust me. I'm going to stay still. I'm going to be faithful right where I am with what I have in this moment. But I'm not going to take another step. I'm not going to take on myself one more thing. I'm not going to wear somebody else's yoke. I'm not going to try and smash that star into that square. I'm going to stay still until you speak what I am supposed to do. No more figuring it out on my own, and no more trying to do everything myself. And that is God's word for you today. So, does anybody have anything?